504's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
And it's time. We're not wasting any time here. Anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding, because that's where we'll be in 2 weeks. Not us, unfortunately. But Tom Brady will be there.
Woohoo!
Tampa Bay. Hey, Tampa Bay. The Bucks are hot and ready to play. They'll be there to host the Kansas City Chiefs. In the LV.
In the OV.
The Las Vegas.
Yeah, in the Vegas.
So, welcome to the show, everybody. Tonight, obviously, it's AFC and NFC Championship Review. We will talk a little buys and hoops and some other NFL stuff along the way here. But, Grant, we'll have 2 weeks to break it all down, but we were both pretty excited about the Packers going down to a painful, humiliating defeat. And it was a fun way to watch it. I guess my initial impressions are that just to marvel at Tom Brady in general and 10 Super Bowls.
That's one-eighth of the Super Bowls he's participated in.
That's unreal. Yeah. And the stat I love the most, I think, and I heard it from multiple places, is that when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were in kindergarten.
Kindergarten, yes.
That's pretty amazing stuff. But what more can you say that hasn't been said about Tom Brady already this year? It's pretty amazing.
Never doubt him. Don't doubt him. I mean, just like, you're at the point where it's Brady. I wouldn't doubt him if it's Aaron Rodgers or if it's Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to doubt him under any circumstances. It's just, towards the end of that game, you knew that the Packers were going to make a run, right? Because it's Green Bay and it's at home. Nobody goes to Lambeau and beats the Packers in the playoffs. And they're down 18, but we knew in the back of our mind, there's going to be some Lambeau BS that's going to happen in this game that's going to make it not comfortable for the Bucks to win that game. And Brady throwing picks. I'm like, oh my God, don't do this to me. And then then Matt LaFleur is a dumbass, and that turns into a pass interference. Yeah. And then I was happy.
Well, we'll get into it all, but before, sometimes you look ahead, you have to look back. And so I want to go back.
Oh God,
I want to go back once again just to make sure we all remember this, that May 11th. Of 2020, May 11th, mind you. May 11th. It is now, as we record this episode tonight, January 25th. Let's pick up Legend in the Loudmouth, our May 11th episode titled "What's Your Record?" And we play the following.
The Superdome, to which Tom Brady goes back to the Super Bowl. As a member of the Tampa Bay Bucks,
such a dreamer.
It's Tampa Bay, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks are hot and ready to play in the Super Bowl.
You're telling me Tampa's just going to whip Rugger right to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
No way is that happening.
I'm just telling you, it's a playoff matchup thing as much as anything else.
Look.
You got that right, brother. God, Kansas City, Tampa Bay. We could have just skipped all the season. We wouldn't have to deal with Corona or anything else. And we just could have said, Loudmouth's got this. Kansas City, Tampa Bay, you heard it here, May 11th, 2020. Loudmouth Ostradamus?
Can I say this one more time? What was I thinking? I know it was May, but God, what was I thinking?
I don't know if I've nailed a Super Bowl prediction like that ever. and it just happens to be the one I recorded. So right. That's great. I'm pretty excited that I was able to pick the two championship teams, because normally my Super Bowl picks aren't worth a damn. And this week, looks like I made it. So
Looks like we made it.
I should have queued that up. But anyway, so I'm pretty excited about that. Not to brag or draw attention to myself, Grant, but is that the greatest Super Bowl prediction that you've ever heard? Was it May? So June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Full 8 months ago. And
it wasn't really you. They sold it on the field.
Your broadcast partner nailed it. So, not that I like to brag or draw attention to myself, but...
Eagle alert.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway. So, I'll ride that one. But, as of course is custom on the show, we need to look back before we look ahead. So, let's talk about the championship weekend in the National Football League. Yeah. I want to start with the game that put us to sleep. Well, no, I guess actually both games put me to sleep. Did I feel like take a nap between each game?
You did.
Okay. Well, you want to start with the Bucs and Packers? Okay. All right.
You made me happy.
Unbelievable. Bucs 31, Packers 26. And the Aaron Rodgers legacy continues. This game didn't unfold anywhere like I thought it was going to.
Nope.
And in part, it worked out, though, in some ways that were similar. The Buccaneer pass rush, I thought, was the game changer. And as I mentioned in the preview to this game, I thought, in my mind, Tampa Bay had to run the ball, and run it some more. And they wound up actually only running the ball for a total of 76 yards.
That's it. But back to the pass rush. They got after his ass after Rodgers.
It was Gatta, baby.
They got him consistently. And it's just, I think there's one where Shaq Barrett just guesses the snap count correctly and just kills Rodgers.
That might have been the best one of the whole
night. But, I mean, I love Billy Turner and the SU tackle. I love him, but he's a revolving door left tackle. I mean, I know Bakhtiari's out and he's one of the better left tackles in this league, but, I mean, it was, you want to go to Trump Tower, go through the revolving door. That's really what all the Bucs had to do to get to Brady. It was ridiculous. They couldn't protect with a damn in that game.
So, the man who has six NFL titles will now play...
Super Bowl titles. This isn't the pre-Super Bowl era, NFL championship.
So, like you said, the pass rush, five times they got home to get Rodgers. And it was really strange to watch as the Buccaneers, it's not like they dominated the game, but they dominated the stretch that they needed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very odd how the whole thing broke down. But we go back, and after a relatively even first quarter, we go back to the Rodgers throwing an interception to Sean Murphy bunting. So good he has three names.
Right.
Again, Packers, Rodgers have been picked off five times the entire year. Two of them against Tampa Bay, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw the third one. And it wasn't like it was a particularly bad throw. Murphy Bunting just made a great play.
Right.
So the Bucs take over. You figure, okay, 14-10, they're at the Green Bay 39. 8 seconds left.
Just take it into halftime, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's go back to the play before. It's fourth and one.
One.
And they run the swing pass to Leonard Fournette, who gets 1.5 yards to the first down. Okay. Gets to the 39. And balls of steel, Bruce Arians.
Balls of brass.
Who calls timeout and unleashes the deep ball to Scotty Miller. My, oh my. Who damn near doesn't catch the ball.
Close. He's close.
But Let's everybody give it up for Kevin King, ladies and gentlemen, who made every Viking corner in 2020 look like a Pro Bowler on that play.
Yeah, if your name was Kevin King, you might get fired on the spot.
By the way, Packer fans, don't you dare ask me and feel like we have to feel sorry for your dumb asses the whole time either, all right? Once the paint thinner smell wears off, you will understand why Viking fans are going to laugh at you for months about this.
Also,
because we don't care that you got screwed by the refs or you got beat on a deep pass in a meaningless part of the game where you should have been able to get off the field. You did everything the Vikings do on a regular basis.
They pull the Vikings in the
absolutely.
All like Green Bay. Who beat you in Lambeau? Oh, that'd be Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen. One of the very few to beat them in Lambeau this season other than Tampa Bay. But it's just, they did many Viking-like things. I mean, giving up touchdowns at the end of halves, getting picked constantly.
Poor coaching decisions.
Getting sacked on a regular basis. I mean, the pass interference in the worst spot possible. They played as much of a Viking playoff football game as much as they wanted with me.
Inopportune turnovers to add to it. Your star running back getting injured.
Your coach is a moron, you know. It's all.
We'll get to the moron part in a minute, but great catch by Miller. An absolute backbreaker. It's 21.
Also, what defense is that?
Yeah, that's not. Ain't no any defense I ever heard of. They play defense in what? What?
We speak English in what? What?
That was not a good performance.
I mean, could you play a man up 3D defense like in Madden?
I mean, I'm not asking the Packers to become the 85 Bears all of a sudden.
Mike Pettine pulled out his Cleveland Browns experience. I'm just going to leave.
See, in some way, when I remembered that Mike Pettine was defensive coordinator, I remembered, Cleveland's bound to wind up in this somehow.
Yep.
Suck. The degree of suck on that play was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Kevin King, man, that's brutal.
Wait, how many touchdowns did he give up? Three?
Oh,
two?
That was awful.
It was two or three, I can remember.
Well, we'll get to more on Kevin King later, but Packers get the ball then to start the second half, try to wash the taste out of their mouth. Aaron Jones catches a little short third down pass, and then Jordan Whitehead absolutely lights out him.
Just kills him.
And, of course, Devin White, my guy, recovers it and rumbles down to the Green Bay 8, where on the next play,
Cameron Brate.
Your guy. Your guy, Cameron Brate.
Wide open.
And it's not even close. And at that point, it's 28-10, and you're thinking, oh my God! They might blow them out again.
Probably damn.
Because you remember that first game, it had gotten to that point.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, can they do it again?
Can I do this again?
But then, here come the Packers. They go on a 8-play, 75 yards. They go down, and of course, Indiana State's own Robert Tonyan catches the touchdown pass. So it's 28-17. Brady promptly comes back, throws it deep for Mike Evans, who gets tipped off his fingers.
Yeah.
Now remember, they're at the they're at their own 38 at this point.
Yeah.
And it gets picked off at the 32, so that gets intercepted. The Packers then go 13 plays, 68 yards, and again, remember, they're doing this now without Jones in the game, and Devonta Adams, of course, catches a touchdown pass. So it's 28-23 at this point. And this is where it gets a little fuzzy for me. Okay? They go for two.
Why?
Okay? They go for two. Now there's 24 seconds left in the third quarter when they score on this play.
Mm-hmm.
If you kick the point here, it's 28-24.
Right.
23 plus 1. My Fargo South math tells me it's 24. Mm-hmm. That way you cut the lead to 4. And then even if you give up the field goal, which they did, you're within one score.
Right.
And it's a 7-point game, not an 8-point game.
But analytics says
go. Analytics, for it. Apparently, told them to go for it. So Rodgers rolls out, and the ball gets tipped just a little bit by Ndamukong Suh.
That should not be much to receive.
The aptly named Equanimeous St. Brown can't hang on to the 2-point pass. And it falls to the ground incomplete. Brady, of course, then probably goes out after the quarter change and throws another pick. And this was the deep one to Evans again over the middle. Yeah. Evans got finger-tipped and gets picked off by your guy, Jair Alexander. And thing is, though, Packers don't do anything with it. Give the ball right back. Brady goes and probably gets picked again. And again, it's to Evans. And again, it's Alexander who picks him off. But the Packers punt. They go 3-and-out.
Again.
Again. And then after a couple of crappy, you know, efforts, Brady somehow manages to get the old little dump job to Rob Gronkowski, who I think is the only pass he caught all day.
Yeah, that was it.
And he gets him down to the 28. Excuse me, to the 30-yard line. They get a couple of runs. Excuse me, they get a...
excuse me.
One run.
Excuse me.
What did I say?
Excuse me, excuse me.
Well, they get to the 28, and Ryan Succop, Mr. Irrelevant from many years ago,
made the field goal.
Bangs home the field goal, and it's 31-23. Okay? Here comes Aaron Rodgers, right? Now they got to do this. But what a sequence of events comes down here. 2 minutes, 22 seconds left to go. Let's set the stage here.
Right.
First down, incomplete to Lazard. Second down, incomplete to Adams. Third down, incomplete over the middle to Adams, but the running lane was wide open. You think he scores?
No.
You think he gets close?
Yes. Okay. Score, absolutely not. Devin White's waiting for him. I think he would say, oh, crap. I
think he gets to, like, the 2, maybe the 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
But ask you a question. Did they rely on Devontae Adams too much?
No.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
No, not in this play.
Not in this play with just, but just the Packers being the Packers. And you can tell every time they're in the red zone or anywhere on the field in general, it's where 17 at. I mean...
Well, he didn't catch the one that he...
He just expects him to be open on every play.
He didn't catch it, did he?
He didn't, no. But it's just during the whole game in general. The whole play-calling sequence
bothers me.
Or I think it was during one possession where they kicked the field goal. It wasn't this possession you're talking about, but it went to Adams every single play. And every single time was incomplete. And the one he caught, he was out of bounds. It just seems like that they rely on him way too much.
Well,
get him another receiver, for God's sake.
Well, maybe so, but, you know, he got targeted 15 times out of 46 throws.
And also the Packers had to make some personnel moves in this offseason.
But he wasn't their leading receiver.
He wasn't.
It was Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Which, if you can do that, you're going to win most of the
time. Adams did not catch a pass longer than 15 yards in the entire game. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what did you think? Third and goal, 8-yard line. I think if they run it, let's say he gets 5. I think it's a pretty good, at least he gets half the distance of what he needs.
Okay.
If I'm Rodgers, I'm also assuming at this point I have another play.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to kick the goddamn field goal. And when the kicker came on the field, when Mason Crosby came on the field, Troy Aikman just kind of like, I don't know about this, Joe. You know how he
is. Yeah, no, we thought.
And I'm sitting there like, what is he doing? He's not going to kick this, is he?
We thought the same thing. It's just like, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best quarterbacks this generation.
It's weird.
Put the ball in his hands to win this game. I don't care if you're 26-6 as a head coach. Do what is right for the team and give the damn thing to Rodgers to win.
So they kick it off.
So the field goal was good.
And then. You know I have a big for clock management at the end of games.
The Bucks did not do a very good job of it. But.
So there's 2 minutes and 2 seconds left when the Bucks return man. I don't remember who it was.
That was maybe George Pickens.
Whoever returned the kickoff. Oh, it was Mickens, right?
Yeah.
So Mickens returns a kick. Inexplicably, at the 2:02 mark, he falls to the ground.
I don't know if he slipped.
Honestly,
I don't know if he slipped or
no. He went down. He went. If he'd have run around for 3 more seconds, he would have been on the same yard line, and it would have been under the 2-minute warning. Instead, they gave him a free timeout. Stupid.
Stupid.
I hate end of game mismanagement. You should know what you're talking about there. You should know. You should absolutely know to run around and get that clock under 2 minutes. Anyway, moving on. So they get a. So before the 2-minute warning, they had to run a play, and Brady hits Evans for about a 9-yard gain, making it 2nd and 1 at the 2-minute warning. Then, Snacks Harrison, just recently signed, I believe, intentionally jumps offside. Reason being, Packers don't want the first down to be get on the next play because they want to save the timeout. Makes sense. So they jump offside to give them the first down. Why doesn't Tampa decline that?
It's Bruce Arians, I don't know.
Strike two. Stupid clock management. Decline the penalty. Take your shot. If you can't get 1 yard, who cares?
How about strike three, you're out.
Well, then they proceed to run the clock from there, and they do on the final play of that was meaningful. It was third and four, and it's incomplete. But
wait.
But wait. Guess who committed the penalty? Kevin King, baby. The King had.
Now,
if Kevin King isn't cut tomorrow.
Now, Luke told me that's an uncatchable pass.
Doesn't matter. Did you see how many fistfuls of jersey he had?
He had a shirt full.
You could see it from the end zone camera.
His undershirt is like this. Yeah. It's like one of those party tricks. He's like, you keep pulling on the
shirt. Right, the magic scarf that keeps
going? Yeah, it's got all the different colors. It just seems like he's pulling on it constantly.
Honestly, that was horrible. That was a horrible, horrible penalty. And it was absolutely justified to be called. But I don't care if you haven't been calling it the whole night. That's still a penalty.
You call it there.
Definitely impeded the progress of the receiver.
So Colin Johnson would have caught that pass. So
I don't know if he would have caught it, but it would have been made an attempt. He certainly got it held up by a step, don't you think?
Right.
I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
So Kevin King, who has already managed to lose the game in the first half of the Packers.
Like Aaron Rodgers didn't go to some dark alley in Green Bay and beat Kevin King to just beat him up.
I mean, honestly.
In Lombardi Alley or something in Green Bay, but.
Just so a little background on your boy Kevin King. He's a big dude. 6'3", and he played at Washington. He's an Oaktown Power, Oakland guy. Oaktown Power, charge you by the hour, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So he was all second team honorable mention Pac-12.
Honorable mention.
Yeah. He has a 4-year contract.
Not anymore.
I don't think so. I think that contract about to be up. That was awful. So anyway, I think Kevin might be searching for a new team.
He might be
this year. But he did major in retail management, so he's got that going for him. Anyway, but apparently he forgot how to cover Tyler Johnson.
Yep.
University of Minnesota, by the way. So, by the way, did you know that Joe Haig reported eligible in like 30 plays in this game?
Holy crap. Nope, didn't know that.
But anyway, then just for good measure, so that makes it first down. And then, which is very entertaining, the Packers get called for too many men on the field. And it's like, oh boy. And then, of course, the Packers have no more timeouts. And then they run out the clock, including on a 3rd and 5 play with 48 seconds left. Chris Godwin takes the pitch on the sort of half reverse.
To end the game.
It's a first down.
We look at each other like, that's a great play call right there.
So I ask you this, and I know the answer to what you're going to give, but 31, and it's easy to say in hindsight now, but 31-23, assuming you have 4th and goal.
Go for it.
You go for that, don't you?
Yeah.
Is there any doubt you go for that?
Nope. I'm going in there to win. I'm not going to say.
Well, at least you're going to tie because that's
like
the best you can do.
You don't go to the, hey, stat guy up in the booth, what should I do? What did the analytics say? Oh, kick it? Okay. No, it's you go with your gut feeling. It's just. Bruce Arians he wears a ballistic vest as a headset, but it's just like he's gonna play it no risk it, no biscuit. That's the way he's called plays his entire career. That's what he did right there. I'm playing to win this game.
So let's say you don't score there and make it 31-23.
You got three timeouts.
Bucks will have the ball in our scenario on like their own 3.
Yeah.
And I got 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning.
We're at 4 timeouts.
I've picked Brady off the last 3 possessions, and they haven't done anything. Odds are pretty good. I'm going to get the ball back with 1:40 left. All I got to do is go 50 yards.
Instead of kicking the ball off,
right?
And then
instead I give up possession, I take a chance with exactly the sequence that we just saw occur happen, and I lose. And I never get the ball back in my Hall of Fame quarterback's hands.
Yep.
Inexcusable by Matt LaFleur. Inexcusable defensive play by Kevin King. An inexplicable play calling by the head coach. And, you know, we were talking the other night on the show about how Rodgers just can't get to the Super Bowl. He's only going to have the one. Might be why.
Yeah.
They were not... I don't necessarily know that the Packers aren't better than Tampa Bay.
No,
but
Tampa's better.
Yeah, you think so? Okay.
They proved it.
But
twice.
Even if that's if you accept that premise, I don't necessarily know that the Packer offense has looked as inept in situations as Tampa Bay's made them this year and any other time.
They're like the better version of the Ravens. They play really well with a lead. But when they're behind, they don't play as well. When they're ahead, Aaron Jones wears the sunglasses, and they're so cocky. When they're behind, nothing but the smile on my face more than Aaron Rodgers with that long head of hair of his and with a hat on just sitting there. Not really, he can't do anything about it. It's just like, that's the reason why. And again, I love referencing, but Colin, he's like, Tom Brady wins these kinds of games. Aaron Rodgers loses them. And is that part of the defense's fault? Yeah, it might be. But they got you three turnovers. Couldn't generate any offense with those turnovers.
And that to me is the most highly looked past part of this whole game. Is that
he had the opportunities.
He had the ball and was given extra possessions, and they still weren't able to generate any offense, which is so strange.
And this is the Packers,
right?
Who were like a top five offense the whole year?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. And it's just Aaron Jones gets hurt, and you're just like, well.
Did that impact them more than people think?
Yep, it did. I think because they rely on him. They rely on two guys, Adams, Jones. I guess you could sprinkle in Tunyon if you wanted to.
Well, they were forced to run Williams and Dillon.
But they just look lost when Adams doesn't get the amount of touches they want him to get. They just look lost. It's like, shoot, we can't get it to Adams. Now what do we do? I mean, he's option A, B, and C, it seems like, on any passing downs. We're 17 at. It's just, they just look one-dimensional out there.
I think they have, you know, on defense, too. Again, Kevin King, obviously. But they didn't generate, in terms of a pass rush, I don't think anything that Brady was overly concerned about. Did you? I didn't think so. No. They only sacked Brady once.
Right.
And the teams that beat Tampa this year, you know, New Orleans, Chicago, they were all able to get after.
Great pass rushers.
Yeah, they all had some, you know, I don't know about great, but
Khalil Mack, Cameron Jordan, I mean, they all have.
Certainly, there were games this year that Brady took some hits. The Bears game in particular, when he didn't know what friggin' down it was.
Aaron Donald, I mean, the team with the best pass rushers usually beat them.
Not necessarily in all those games, and it's a game we'll dissect next week. Including the loss to the Chiefs, who, by the way, are the last team the Bucs lost to this year, is the Chiefs. And that will be some subject of next week's film room for me, is to go down and break down the previous game in the year between those two teams. But let's, before we go on to the AFC game, let's just put a final nail in the coffin on this game. I don't know if the Packers lost it as much as the Bucs won it, because I think the Bucs win and took it. But I think the Packers are always going to be wondering what might have been. And I think they shot themselves in the foot and lost it and contributed to it as much as
they did. A couple points I want to make. One, Tom Brady's first year in the NFC, one conference championship. Drew Brees, one conference championship. Aaron Rodgers, one conference championship.
Rex Grossman,
one conference championship.
Vince Ferragamo,
one conference championship.
Doug Williams,
he got the one.
Yeah.
Green Bay, I look at your cap space here. Oh, you're negative $28 million in the hole. Uh-oh. Aaron Jones is a free agent. I question what they're going to do this offseason. He might be expendable. You have two backs that you like. Do you risk getting rid of Jones? I don't know. But it's just
fair point.
But it's just with Green Bay, they're going to look back at 2014, 2011, 2012. They got beat. I don't know if it's just that they had bad luck in those games. Love that. But it's just 2014 against Seattle, that's the one they're going to look back more on than this one. Because 2014, they had that one dead to rights. You're up 16-7 in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go. You should win that game against Seattle. You don't. But I think last year, the other day I saw a shot in NFL Films of, you know, he's complaining about when they're playing San Francisco. He's like, wish we had one of these at home. Well, you got one, and he didn't follow through with it. So, and his legacy is always been tied to Brett Favre. So,
right.
Brett still has the upper hand until you can get to another one.
But four NFC title game losses for Rodgers.
And he just whines and whines and whines. There are a bunch of whiners in Green Bay.
And that game, I know the game against Seattle's got to be particularly galling because, you know, they were up 16-0 in that game.
And you pick off Wilson.
And Wilson got
over.
Picked four times.
Yeah.
And, of course, it just... That's the kind of game that you might lose, you know, once in a generation.
But they did.
And, you know, then they got their doors absolutely blown off by Atlanta.
And San Francisco.
They got run over by
San Francisco.
They got their doors blown off by Atlanta. Uh-huh. That game wasn't close because it was 24-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And... That Falcon team was damn scary.
Yeah, but with Atlanta and with Tampa Bay, they and San Francisco, they've ran into probably the second best offense in the NFL every other time they played in a conference championship game. Atlanta, best offense in the league. Tampa was a top five offense. Seattle's a top five offense. San Francisco was a top five ground game. I mean, they've ran into some really potent offenses, and they haven't responded well.
No, and then you look at the game last year, Mostert absolutely owned them. He had 220 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, it was just this.
Garoppolo threw seven passes. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that's right. He only threw... Yeah, yeah.
They're
6 of 8 for 77 yards.
Yeah, 6 of 8, my fault. Yeah. But they're glaring issues they never fix.
And then, yeah.
But the run defense is their most glaring weakness. Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith are not the best run stoppers. They're pass rushers.
And Rodgers, who takes such good care of the football during the regular season, has this real penchant for just throwing some bad picks.
But you had to turn over Green Bay to win this game. Tampa turned them over plenty. I mean, just they did everything they had to win this game. There's nothing that Green Bay can say or do that's going to change this. I mean, as much as Green Bay doesn't want to admit it, the Vikes and the Bears, they're on their heels, and well, they can't relax because those two teams are coming after them.
Right. Well, let's move to the AFC side where things were over a lot earlier.
Thanks, Jacob.
Yeah, what'd you cash on that bet?
Yeah, right. I already got it today. We're good.
So, I have a question. So, overall, first of all, Chiefs obviously win 38-24 to nobody's surprise. And that's honestly not too far off from the score that I figured it was going to be.
Yep.
You know, in all things considered. By the way, you picked the over and I picked the under, so even though the deficit is going to be 2 at the end here, I guess you could still technically tie me in the Super Bowl in the playoff contest. So
I already won the contest for.
And I'm going to win the playoffs, so that's
what. But I beat you 2-1.
And I, of course, May 11th.
But I beat you 2-1.
May 11th.
That's May 11th.
Where I picked Packers, or I picked Buccaneers.
That doesn't mean
Chiefs.
Anything.
I'm loud Stradamus.
That doesn't matter.
Anyway.
I still beat you in contest 2-1 regardless, so I'm not really worried about it.
Whatever. Anyway, May 11th. Chiefs 38, Bills 24.
This game was over before the final whistle.
Well, and it was, you know, it was one of those classic games where the Chiefs fall behind you and you're like, oh, we gotta go play now. And...
And then they score this big romp and stop.
Yeah, and so the Bills get on the board first. They kick the field goal. Mahomes goes 3 and out. And then Buffalo gets a huge break on a punt where Mecole Hardman fumbles the ball at the 3 yard line, and then
that's a big oh moment.
Yeah, that's not a good. And then my boy Dawson Knox with the greatest name,
great tight end name,
catches the touchdown pass, and it's 9-0 because Tyler Dumbass hits the extra, hits the upright with the extra point. And from that point on, it was all Kansas City. From that point forward, the Chiefs' next four drives, touchdown, 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 end of half.
Oh.
And then it's followed in the second half by field goal, touchdown, touchdown, and end of game. So they did not get stopped after that the entire rest of the game. And
good luck stopping that.
The Bills and their mediocre defense, again, got exposed. They gave up, 439 yards. They didn't quite get as beat on the ground quite as bad, but also the Chiefs just absolutely controlled the major parts of the game when they had to. Time of possession was about even, but man, everything that the Chiefs wanted to do, they did.
Yeah, it's just the Bills, they just don't have it yet. They looked unimpressive in both their playoff game against the Ravens and the Colts. I didn't like them then. I sure as hell didn't like them at the end of that first half against Kansas City. They just looked meh. They just looked bad and boring at times in those playoff
games. I don't like the fact that the Bills can't run the ball.
They just can't. It's just like, yeah, they established it early in the game, but it's like, what good does that do to you for Kansas City? But Kansas City can play any game you want to play. You want to play fast-paced? All right, they can outscore you. You want to play slow ball? They can outrush you.
And that's what they did against Buffalo the first time.
You name it. You name the game, they got you. It's just you can't stop them. You can only slow them down.
You can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them.
Right. You cannot consistently stop them. If you let them score 3 points at a time, that's fine. These playoff games go, who can score in the red zone? And who can get touchdowns in the red zone? And most of the time, that's Kansas City. They know how to operate in that red area.
And usually it's Travis Kelce.
Right.
Another massive game in this one. When you look at the Bills, and again, this is as much putting a post-mortem on teams as anything, size it up in the next 3 years. Who's a bigger challenger to Mahomes? Is it Lamar Jackson and the talent he has, or is it Josh Allen? Because I thought Allen looked a little immature at times, and of course that one interception he threw was not very good. And
I take Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson every day.
Okay.
He and Rodgers, they both lock in on their primary target, which is Devontae Adams or Mark Andrews on third down.
Mark Andrews.
Every third down, it's where's 89 at? I got to find 89. And it's just defenses can create a defense on third down because just cover Adams and you got him on third down.
Right.
It's just that or scramble. But if teams have good pass rushes, they're going to get Lamar at some point.
Do you think that in the long run, though, that Allen can develop into a quarterback that can, because again, we talk about Manning versus Brady and the rivalries and all that stuff.
It's going to be Josh Allen.
You think it's going to be? Do you think the Bills are set up for that though?
It's tough to say. I mean, Mahomes might have a two-way battle though. I mean, he might have two rivalries at one time. That's the way it might end up.
Someone's got to win though, right?
Right. I mean, and until somebody beats him, it's going to be Mahomes versus the world in the AFC. I mean, is there really a really big quarterback rival in the NFC anymore?
Well, there won't be now.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't one. It's just just
Brady rival versus everybody else.
I mean, really, that might be it. But, I mean, because you know the Saints are finished for a while.
Yeah.
They ain't going. They're not doing anything. You're just at the point where the veterans are leaving the game now. The NFL's going to be a lot younger than it will be now because all the old farts are leaving the league.
Right.
I mean, it's surprising that Stafford's only 32 years old.
And we'll get to him.
Yeah, right. But it's just like the NFL's getting a lot younger than it used to. I mean, because all the old wily vets at quarterback, they're all leaving.
Well, and you might wonder if Rodgers is he going to – how long is he going to
play? I was going to ask you that. Was that his last pass as a Packer?
No, I don't think so.
But he's been fed up with management, that's for sure.
I think the changing of the guard in the NFC will be interesting to watch because I think it's going to happen probably with I think you might start to see it with this class that starts to come in now. Because right now, you don't see a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFC, to me, that just jump out and say, they're ready. They're not.
Nobody is.
I mean, honestly,
I think there are teams that are quarterbacks away from just being really good.
Who are those?
I think... well, San Francisco.
Don't think Jimmy G's the guy?
No. Consistently, no. As much as I like Kirk, but Minnesota's on that list. Because Kirk can't move. I mean...
No, I know.
The NFL is going towards an age where you got to be able to move in the pocket. He can't.
Right.
Jalen Hurts might be on the up and up in Philly. Dak Prescott, this is tough for Dallas. You think, is Dak going to get paid?
Yes.
Jerry's got to bite the bullet on Dak. Yeah. And it's just at the point where, I think that the football team, if they get a quarterback, they're ready to go. I mean, they might be there.
You don't think Taylor Heineke is the guy?
He might be. And I would keep him around for a camp. But, maybe Carolina, but...
Teddy? No.
Maybe. Maybe they don't take one. But I don't know what they would do. But as a biased Vikings fan, if you get a mobile quarterback, the Vikes are ready to roll.
Right.
They just need a guy who can move and extend plays. And right now, Kirk can't.
There's going to be so much...
It's as bad as his acting career for Best Buy.
Wow. There is going to be so much quarterback movement this year, it's not even going to be funny. But
the AFC got a lot younger. The NFC has
We'll get to that here in a minute. But just to finish up on, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on the Chiefs, because I think we all knew going in this was probably how it was really going to go anyway.
Right.
I never felt the Chiefs at any point in this game.
They were never
game,
in any real danger.
Even when they were down 9-0,
right.
I didn't feel like they were in any danger of losing this game.
They were never in any danger, really. It's just like...
Mahomes look pretty mobile to you?
Yeah. No, he's good. I think he can move when he has to. He likes to sit in the pocket, but he can still run around and move when he has to, and that's fine with me. Just a guy like that is good enough in this league. He can still move and extend plays. He can get 5 yards on a third. I put it like this. If he had 3rd and 5, can he get that 3rd and 5 with his legs? Yeah, he probably could. He doesn't hesitate. He just does it. But like Kirk on a 3rd and 2... Should I go? I don't know if I want to go. It's 2 yards. It's a little far for me. And it's just like, just do it.
Yeah.
It's just.
I go over the Josh Allen rushing stats here. And it's 7 carries for 88 yards. The running backs had 32 yards. The wide receivers had 9. You have to generate some kind of rushing game that doesn't involve the quarterback run.
Yeah.
Because even as you look at Baltimore, they are able to go and play a game where, yes, Lamar runs for a bunch of yards, but they've not, and they don't have Ingram anymore, but they've had Gus Edwards, they've had, J.K. Dobbins. Even Patrick Ricard or whatever.
Ricard, the fullback.
He is a monster. They got everybody that runs the ball. And right now the Bills are a little bit too much a one-dimensional team, and Diggs is wonderful, and we've seen him enough. We know how good he is.
The Ravens are receiving core away from really being really good.
And I think the Bills are...
The Bills need a running game, and they're good.
I think the Bills don't need a high-end running back. But, man, couldn't you see an Aaron Jones in that offense chugging away? Or even just a... Even like an Alexander Mattison type back who just can pound and get you some yardage. Because they don't look like they can run very well otherwise.
When you can't throw a pass in the first quarter of a playoff game, when you can't run the ball.
You can't run the ball is what they couldn't do.
Yeah, it's just they consistently cannot get a running game going. And it's just, you can only throw it to Diggs so many times. Right. To the point where they're going to figure that out and you're going to have to go. It's like, ooh. I like Cole Beasley, but Diggs is a lot better. It's just he has to be able to find that second, or even find Dawson Knox in the flat. He just
I just smile when I hear Dawson Knox. He's my Cameron Brate for you. That's my guy. But
okay.
So before we leave football behind, we're early line Chiefs about a 3.5-point favorite.
Even though the Bucks are at home.
Yeah, even though the Bucks are the quote unquote home team. My early impression on this game, just to give you a heads up, I think this could is either going to be really close for the Bucks or really ugly for the Chiefs. And
the Bucks got to get a pass rush, which they can. And also, the Chiefs' starting tackles are out. So
right, Eric Fisher went out. Mitchell Schwartz is out.
Is already out. So it's going to be this would be a close game. Do the Chiefs win by maybe two scores? They make it a score late, but it's gonna be a fight for Mahomes to stay in that pocket because those two tackles. I don't know, and don't forget that
Tampa Bay also got Vita Vea back in the lineup.
Yeah,
that certainly helps. Shaq Barrett was again a run man wrecking crew.
Right,
they've got a lot of defensive options to put up here. I don't know though. I mean, I worry about a guy like Carlton Davis.
Yep.
He could get abused by a guy like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to go back and look at that first game. And again, remember, these teams have already played this year. The Chiefs won at 27-24 and had the game under control until late when Mike Evans caught a couple of touchdown passes. And it wasn't until a late first down that the game was sealed the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that while the Chiefs will be the favorite, I don't necessarily think the Bucks are, in any way, shape, or form, have no chance to win. I just think they're going to need to score a little bit more to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to need to get to that 31 number. I think if they get to 31, I think they got a shot.
The Chiefs got to get the Chiefs will score 34. Then I mean, you have to keep pace with them,
right?
You can't stop them. You can only slow them down.
I think you have to go in making the assumption you need to win this game 31-28 if you're Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
I think that's what you need.
You need to score at least. You need to score more points into the team, obviously. But
very good, a very astute analysis.
Right. But it's the truth, though. I mean, it's just they're gonna have to find a way to hold.
I can give you with some degree of certainty that the team has scored the most points in every NFL game. That team has undefeated in NFL history. If you score more points than the other team, undefeated. And they plan to stay that way this week.
Yeah.
So, the team that is, and incidentally, the reverse stat. Just so again,
they haven't won a game yet.
A team that has scored the fewest points in each game in the NFL history has lost.
No way.
This just in.
We got them.
And if they score the same amount of points,
they tie.
There's never been a winner or a loser. Okay, breaking news. Right. So, but those are my early thoughts on the LV, which we'll break down.
On the Vegas.
Right. We will talk about in depth next week. We're going to do some Super Bowl previews. But just a few other football notes. Phillip Rivers retired. We didn't talk about it last week. He's already going to be coaching high school football, dadgummit somewhere.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford has asked to be traded from the
Leones.
And I don't blame him because I'd want to get the hell out of there too. I mean, he could go a lot of different places.
Did the Lions waste his entire career?
Most of it.
I mean, let's see.
How many head coaches and how many offensive coordinators and
Let's see. They've ruined Alex Karras, Barry Sanders.
I think Alex Karras gambled his way out of the league, so I don't think that's quite accurate.
No, but Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford, and it's just, I mean, stop ruining talent. I mean, it's just, if you go there, at least the Browns, I think are the Lions the new factory of sadness? I mean, is that where they're at?
Are you kidding? They've been the factory of sadness for years.
No, that was the Browns. It was the Browns. I think factory of sadness is closed in Cleveland. It's opened back up in Detroit because a lot of abandoned factories down there. So another one isn't going to make that much of a difference.
Let me tell you how bad the Lions have been, and just in terms of what they have had
since the 0-16.
I mean, honestly, they absolutely have had. They had the all-time team that got announced in 2019. The Lions did.
Yeah.
And there have been some good names on this roster, and it's just looking.
Calvin Johnson,
and I'm talking, recent vintage. Benny Blades was great. Lomas Brown,
Benny Blades was
in Miami, defensive back.
That's right.
And some of these guys, Kevin Glover, dominant center for a number of years. Mel Gray was best. Best kick returner in the league.
Johnny Morton.
Let's not forget Jason Hansen. He's probably one of the best kickers in the league, and he kicked for like 20 years.
He's a nerd.
You got Calvin Johnson. Honestly, you can make the case the best wide receiver in the game. You mentioned Herman Moore. You mentioned Johnny Morton.
Who was the quarterback? Fantastic.
But Scott Mitchell was the quarterback. And there.
Oh, good Lord.
But, you know.
Bobby Lane doesn't count?
No, I'm just talking recent vintage here. Robert Porcher, great defensive end. Barry Sanders goes without saying. Spielman, who's going to try to turn it around. Good luck.
Good luck with that, Chris.
Good luck with that. Stupid shit like that, where they should have just had. And, of course, I think we've made fun of all the quarterbacks.
Greg Landry and...
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Andre Ware and...
It's a horrible, horrible mess of Detroit. Yes, we have done this before because I see it's been highlighted, but we don't have to.
We did this.
You don't have to go through the names again. They're just...
Scott Mitchell.
Rodney Pete, Rusty Hilger, Chuck Long, Eric Hipple, Charlie Batch... Scott Mitchell, Joey Eric, la la la. Just go.
Danilovsky.
Danilovsky. Yeah. Just shooting his mouth off over, honestly.
I mean, they're just abysmal.
Wouldn't Stafford make a great Colt?
Yeah. Make a good Niner, make a good Patriot. He'd make a lot of good
The games. Rumor is that the Patriots would be very interested in having Stafford on board. Makes sense to me. I think the funny thing about all this is that all these there's going to be a quarterback market this year like you haven't seen in several years. And I think a big part of it is going to impact, guys like Wentz. Now, I don't think he's going anywhere.
He probably won't now, but...
No, but how many of these guys could move now? I mean, this was a good Schefter tweet, and that's what I was looking up here. QBs whose futures are in question this year. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, Prescott, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitch Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, Ben Roethlisberger, and while Breeze isn't on here, probably should, roughly. That doesn't include, by the way, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, remember him? Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, he'll be back.
But
still.
I
would pencil in Kirk Cousins' name in there too, but because you know what the Vikings are going to do with that 14th pick. Hey, they get a quarterback, they get a pass rusher. I mean, you don't know what the Vikings are going to do with that 14th pick. I mean, what would you do with the 14th pick?
I'd grab an offensive lineman in every friggin' round.
We have a center. We have two tackles.
Have you watched our pass rush? Have you watched our offensive line get smashed up? We got a great run blocking line, but we don't have a pass protection worth a shit. And then when you're after that, and if you're not going to draft the offensive lineman, you draft corners. You draft, again, 500 corners. You can't have enough corners. Now, maybe these guys that were all hurt and short season and everything, they're going to have Michael Pierce. They're going to get all their defensive help back.
The Vikes have no excuses next year. Let's put it that way. Zero.
There's always excuses. But
there won't be on this.
But you'd think next year they're as well positioned to make a run as anybody, especially with the division in the state that it's in now.
With the Lions in shambles, Chicago, they can't figure out a quarterback.
Chicago, the playoff Bears, mediocre at best.
Yeah.
And the Packers will be reeling from that loss.
Yeah, and who might not even have their best running back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the division is wide open as it's probably ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting year.
Plus, it's an odd number year. So that also helps the Vikings favor. So.
Right, very technical term.
No.
Very
conference championship, 8-8. Divisional round, 7-9.
What did we finish this year? 7-9?
Yeah. Just saying.
Not effing going 7-9. I should have had that tape ready to go. But anyway. So. Let's talk a little Bison Hoops. Men get the sweep as expected over Denver.
Yeah.
And that puts them...
One close.
Halfway... I can't believe we're halfway through the Summit League schedule already. Is that true?
Yep.
It is. How do they now... With Malik Harden-Hayes hurt this weekend... And did not play.
Mm-hmm.
How do they find enough time for everybody now?
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. Omaha, South Dakota, by the way, off for the weekend. Apparently someone got the Rona. So
USD, I mean, USD is the most overrated team in the Summit League. I mean, seriously. Aren't they unbeaten in conference play?
USD?
Yeah.
I believe they have not lost a game.
They are, but it's like, really? Really? How many? Six and all. How many conference games have the Jacks? Have the Jacks played?
Jacks have played four.
They played four games in conference.
Bison and UND are the only teams to have played eight. And
yeah, so I think the Bison were able to higher than the Jacks and the Yotes because they haven't played. They haven't done anything.
Well,
I mean, ORU might be overrated too, but you know.
Well, but gotta give ORU credit. They swept Kansas City over the weekend. If it isn't, those Bison just don't care, do you? I mean, it's just like...
It should be. Until we get to a big weekend, I mean, like, really. It's UMKC. It's
honestly, UMKC. February is going to be fun.
Yeah.
With some of these weekend games. Now, the Bison have the UMKC, and then it goes ORU and you know, South Dakota State and South Dakota, so that's going to be a fun grouping of games to watch. There's no question about
it. Get out with splits and be okay.
We've seen this before. I mean... Bison really routed them on Saturday night. They had a little trouble Friday night. It was 70-58, not ideal. Denver's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a horrible basketball team.
I mean, like, they're just throwing the ball around. They can't make a damn shot. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it looked like no offensive consistency.
Yeah, they were a 3 seed 4 seasons ago.
Time's changing.
That seems like a mid-major distant memory at this point.
Yeah, but mid-major basketball is such a different...
Then why do the Jacks and the Bison always get consistent talent? And so does the Jets.
Well,
so
because they can recruit to it. I mean, who's going to come to Western Illinois?
Or Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean,
well, Tulsa's a little better fit than Macomb. Honestly.
I spend the weekend in Macomb.
Weekend in Macomb, and you go to the Perkins and have it. And that might be generous to the Perkins. Is it? Well. I don't even know if Western Macomb has a Perkins. I'm to one of the four people.
It's a flapper, you know what I mean?
The what?
It's a flapper.
Well, I don't know.
Go to the Perkins, yeah.
I wonder if there is a Perkins in Macomb. Now I gotta look it up.
Is there a Days Inn down there somewhere?
I'm sure there is. Well,
some shitty hotel.
I'm sure Dom Izzo and McFeely and those guys can tell us.
Exactly, there's a Perkins down there. Much of the muffins are fantastic.
There is a Perkins.
Of course there is.
Well, no, I take that back. I don't see one here.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I can't seem to find a Perkins in Macomb. There's one in Galesburg, Illinois. I don't
close
know
enough.
Galesburg is one.
Yeah, good.
This is not an advertisement for the Macomb Chamber of Commerce here, but...
The Board of Trustees.
I don't think that the...
wouldn't they have a subway or what do they got down there?
Yeah, they might. There is... I don't know. I'm looking at the Chamber of Commerce.
I'm looking at Google Earth here.
I'm checking out the Macomb area restaurants. And again, I'm sure Izzo and
they probably, know it better than you do.
Restaurants. Here we go. All right. Let's see what we got here. And we've got Yummy Chen's. I'm not making this up. There's Chicks on the Square. Again, not making these up either.
Is there any notice?
The Old Dairy. It's no lie. It's a picture of a cow.
Ice cream place, or
it looks to be. They've got a Jimmy John's, so you're okay. Right. Oh, the Macomb Country Club. I bet you that's prestigious. The Jackson Street Market, Yummy Chen's, Larry A's Pizza, the Sports Corner. That's his one.
No, the Country Club got me laughing. Yeah. Don't they really have a Country Club?
Yeah, the Macomb Country Club, baby. it's 20 in Hickory. It's in Hickory Grove. Haymakers appear fresh and friendly. The Jackson Street. Look at the picture of the Jackson Street pub. Looks like some sort of shanty somebody put in the middle of somewhere.
Looks like I was looking at old Western towns. Yeah,
I do not. Rocky's Bar and Grill. It's got a big bulldog in there, so I'm guessing there.
Rocky Cruiser owns that place.
A proud corporate sponsor of the Western Illinois Leathernecks. Let's see here.
I'm not going to lie. That looks pretty nice. That's a Macomb Country Club.
That's actually pretty good.
That is very not bad.
There's only a little bit of brown grass I see in there, so it's pretty good stuff. We'll have to...
That's not bad.
Next time we... we'll have to.
That's not bad. I mean, that,
no, we'll have to call. We'll have to talk to Colhane and those guys. And
What's Macomb like?
Yeah. What's the Macomb Country Club like?
Denver's probably a little nicer. I mean, it's Denver, Colorado. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, but again, I can't imagine the Western Illinois.
And guess what? Macomb Country Club. They got a pool. All right.
Of course. Is it like? Do you have to inflate it?
I mean, that's it. I mean,
yeah, it looks great. As long as you don't have to inflate the seahorse in the bottom of the pool, it's probably a great... I don't know if Grant's going to be able to continue with the show. Here we go.
Yeah, I've got to It's still inflating. Hold on.
Yeah, hold on. Jimmy, what'd you do with the pump?
Oh, man.
It's like some 2 foot deep wading pool. There's toys and shit scattered all over the place. There's no poolside service. It's like the poolside service is a little chest of ice that they had keep over there.
There's like some tears that got the tape over it, you know?
There's
some tears in the pool.
Right, and you know that the umbrellas all have duct tape on them. You know, there's no question about it. That
and then it pops like, oh no!
Oh no.
Abandoned ship.
That's like half the replacement budget is like, you know. Oh, that's good.
Also, I'm thinking about Western Illinois. Can we please stop with the college announcers too? I can't watch one of your games. With
actually, they work as the pool boys on the weekend, so that's what's going on there.
With the Macomb Country Club.
I'm certainly never getting invited to Macomb anytime soon after ripping on those guys. But anyway, that'll be interesting to see if they.
There's your brown grass too. There it is.
Well, yeah, that looks like where I normally hit from anyway. So it looks pretty right on the money.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, we better get out of here before I get granted some more trouble with the people, the fine folks of Mahomes. I should rename it Mahomes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. Find links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina once and truly, for always, will ever suck. Grant, how do we find
you? Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram, legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us, like the show, hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please. I can't go over Macomb.
We're
right
gonna
now.
Have to. We've done 103 shows.
I can't go over Macomb right now.
And too busy because he's thinking about burgers at the Macomb Country Club.
Probably just chunks of ice.
Speaking of Macomb, I'll tell you why next on Thursday's show the Bison should stay in FCS. It's the long-awaited Bison should stay in FCS show. You'll hear all about why. You'll hear about the history, and you'll hear about why I think they should stay. Next week, Legend, Loudmouth, Thursday night. See you then.